All right, well, let's have a word of prayer and we will get going. Lord, I do pray that you will work in our hearts during this time. I pray that you'll give us insight that is divine. Lord, we need you. Nothing that is said that's just human will make a difference. I pray that you'll illumine and empower what is said now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we are still in the chapter on marriage. And of course, these principles help all of us no matter what position in life we are in. And so our first two lies that we looked at by the way, I just reminded me, we were in a Sunday school staff meeting, and at the end of it, Mrs. Allen, a week ago, said, because it made sense to us, she says, "What lies are you going to cover next Tuesday?" And the other staff is looking there, "What lies are you going to cover?" Anyway, it was really funny. And then we realized what we were talking about. But anyway, the first one was, I have to have a husband to be happy. We talked a lot about that, being content with the Lord. And then secondly, it is my job to change my husband. And you can put that into almost every category. We've got to be very careful about dominating humanly and trying to get out of the role that God has given to us. But because there's so much in this chapter, I'm going to just move right on. Our third lie is, my husband is supposed to serve me. And this has come out of feminism. Back in the 60s, 70s, this began to become a big deal. In fact, the NBA a while back, as she mentioned, got into a big deal about all the guys need to do laundry at their house and so forth. Now, let me say from the very beginning, when a marriage is working properly, you're going to be helping each other. So that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about an unbiblical perspective on the roles and to have the right kind of heart. When you study the major section on marriage, which is in Ephesians chapter 5, the introduction to it is, be filled with the Spirit. And I've often gone over the three evidences of being filled with the Spirit is to be God conscious, singing with melody in your heart to the Lord. Secondly, to be thankful for all things. The third one is submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. A Spirit-filled Christian understands the role that God has given to them and follows the Lord, the Lord's biblical teaching on it, and then his subjective leading, and loves to be a servant. And so looking at this without the Lord, looking at it without the Spirit of God, looking at it from a selfish perspective, you can get all kinds of philosophies and warped thinking if you don't watch out. And so we got to go back to the whole purpose of this. I will make an helper for him, a completer for him. And she defines it as a supporter for him, a helper matching him, corresponding to him. And so this is not speaking of a wife just being a menial servant. Absolutely not. He said it's not good that man should dwell alone. God had given man the dominion over the entire earth. What a tremendous responsibility. That's just staggering. Did you know Adam had the ability to do it by the power of God? But he needed Eve, and so they together in a oneness were accomplishing the will of God. Adam doing what he needed to do, Eve doing what she needed to do. And so there was no concept there of this servanthood. Now, we have to stop here and see what Satan has done over the millennia to the role of women. You look at paganism, you look at many cultures today, and it's an atrocity how women are dealt with. Bible Christianity has exalted women to the position God created them to be if you're following the Word of God. And so I can somewhat understand this reaction to what you see in the in cultures around you. Let me just say, be thankful you're not a Muslim. Just to be blunt with you, okay? That's just unbelievable. A lot of the big unrest in Iran right now is a pushback from women because of the Sharia law and the awful way that women are treated. You go to many of the African countries, and it's beyond an atrocity how women are treated, and they are treated as slaves. Africa, Asia, of course, you got varying types of cultures there. But in true Judeo-Christian, Bible-believing cultures, you have a much higher respect. So you can see why there is some of that when you look at just the human aspect of it. Satan is constantly endeavoring to undercut marriage, undercut the role of a man and a woman every way that he can. And so ladies have got to understand that God's perspective is totally different than man's perspective. And that is that it is a great privilege and joy for us to meet one another's needs in marriage so that God's will can be accomplished. And that's what you have, is that bigger picture that I am here to do what I ought to do so that we can and he can be all that God wants him to be. That may mean doing the laundry. It may mean some of those things, but it means far more than that. And a husband loving his wife is going to meet her needs when she cannot function and participate in helping with the household. It's not one role versus another. It's both roles. Husband loves his wife. He leads his wife. A wife is the one that's supporting her husband. They are in it together. They have a cause together. And so therefore, it's exciting to be able to be used of God to be a blessing to one another. Now, if the husband doesn't have a cause, problem, okay? Some of you face that. But it doesn't matter. You take 1 Peter 3, as I mentioned last week, when you do what you can to support your husband, God is able to work in the husband's life. And he takes down the barriers, and God can work there. The best example is what? We have an Old Testament illustration. Not a specific person, but can you think of a chapter? Virtuous woman? Proverbs 31. Okay. She does a lot of household things, doesn't she? But is she a wimp? No, she's not a doormat. In fact, she helps run things. She's a partner with her husband. She's well-dressed. Her family has enough food to eat and share with others. She lives a well-ordered life. She's stable. Her husband really loves her. He praises her, and her children praise her, and he is known in the gates because she has lifted up his arms and supported him. It's a beautiful illustration, actually. So you see both domestic, but you see a mutual respect and a high level of thinking about how that household should function. So that's very good. Now, let's face it. One of the things that we all struggle with is truly being a servant. I mean, that just goes totally against our flesh, ourself. Serving others is the height of spiritual victory. The love, putting others first, loving to give up our rights to meet the needs of others as God leads in the different roles that we have. That is really the height of joy. It's the height of blessing. You even look at the term deacon. What does that mean? Servant. Okay. Here you have a man who is known as a leader within the church body, but his primary purpose is to serve. And in fact, it's not a biblical term, but the term minister that a pastor sometimes has is, what does that mean? Serve. Leaders must first serve and be more concerned about the welfare of those under them than they are about any advantage that they're going to have in their leadership. So if a wife is walking with God and loves to serve and is growing in that and sees the privilege of her own ministry, but also enabling the ministry of her husband, and that she needs to be a support. She's going to be able to evaluate some of the mundane tasks and see them as greatly a sacred task. By the way, child rearing, that's really being a servant. You know, all I have to do is take care of a grandkid for a day, and I'm very thankful for my wife. I'm reminded of all that I of course, diapers are so different today. All you have to do is speak to them, and I think they go on, you know. You remember the old cloth diapers and the those pins? I had more holes in my hands. I was fumble fingers on that. Oh, yeah, and they smelled in those laundry baskets full with the water in it with those diapers. Anyway, I tell you, we raised kids right back in the old days, didn't we? But, no, I think I'm all for the easier stuff. Of course, it costs a lot, you know, and another diaper shortage. You know, during the diaper shortage the last time, I said, well, there are cloth diapers. You can, you know, there are other ways to do this. But anyway, got offline here. But the point is that what better way to strengthen your husband's hand and to minister to and be part of his ministry than to rear his children right? And there's a lot of servant stuff in that, isn't there? But it's a privilege. And those of you that have kids out of your home, it goes a lot faster than you thought it would. You thought you'd never get by it. And all of a sudden, shoo, they are now 18. They're now 25, you know. And so, yeah, they go fast. But my point is the overall perspective, ladies, don't let feminism of our day, those are the unhappiest women. And I hate to say it, it comes out of a bitterness toward broken homes that they were raised in. It comes out of, as I mentioned last week, they're broken morally. They've been taken advantage of. And so they're angry. And, of course, right now, so much of the unrest across our country, I hate to use this term, but it's older, angry white women. And it really is true. And they're the radical leftists. And they came out of the feminism of the 60s and 70s, and they're unhappy people. Listen, nothing greater than just being in God's will, doing what God wants, being satisfied with God's plan. It's a wonderful thing. So just want to look at that more of an overview, but just think of serving as a privilege. And part of the problem, too, is in today's world, and we got to help on this, but young ladies need to be taught how to do household chores and enjoy it, be organized with it, and not see it as such a inhibition hindering to what they want to do. And they need to learn how to manage a household so that it's not overpowering and they enjoy doing it and then get to do other things. And obviously a husband should be a partner helping. If I had been in here, we'd be talking about things I love every so often. When my wife has been teaching, she's had a couple hard days and things aren't exactly like she likes them. I like to just step in, do the kitchen or whatever, get it really back up to level. Just, and it's such a relief to her, you know. Well, she's not making me do that. That's just something as a husband I realize, wow, she has been going night and day and I've got a couple hours, so let's just do it. And that certainly is the right thing. But that ought not be expected. We just ought to work together in accomplishing the will of God, okay? I think that's the biggest thing to realize that ladies should be a support and the big cause should be the main thing. And that's also, those of you that are widows or in different kinds of positions, to be able to lift up the arms of leadership within a church is a big deal. And I thank God for the ladies in our church that pray, that are there to help when they can, that they're helping the younger ladies, they're giving of themselves, doing things I can't do, meeting needs I can't meet. And so what would we do without that, honestly? And so much could be said about it. All right, the next lie we'll look at is, if I submit to my husband, I'll be miserable. Okay, that is something a lot of people actually think. Now, how many of us naturally like to submit? If you raise your hand, you are lying, okay? No, we all We all get frustrated. Doesn't it bother you when somebody you don't know tells you what to do? You know, you're at a place or you're in a line somewhere, and then somebody comes up and you can't be there, you got to go over there. And what rises up in you? It's that little bit of rebellion and anger. Who are you to tell me what to do? And it's just a little reminder, wow, I still got that flesh there, you know. So we've got to understand, it is not natural to submit, it is supernatural. But I want to cause us to realize, what does Ephesians 5:21 say? Submitting yourselves one to another. Submission is as big a thing for a husband as for a man in marriage. And could I say maybe more? Because who does the husband have to be directly in submission to, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11? Lord Jesus himself. And so he's got to do right, and he's got to live a life of love like Christ loves us. And so he has to submit every bit of his selfish desires to the Lord and put his wife first. You talk about a battle. That's where it is at. And I just want to remind you, just to put things in perspective, in that same passage, the Lord Jesus also submits to whom? To the Father. Yeah, he's in submission too. He's co-equal. And so are women. They're co-equal with their husbands. But God's order is to work together in that way. There's nothing wrong. The only reason we see it as wrong, well, there's two reasons. Number one, our fallen nature just warps everything, and we're selfish. Number two, the leadership of men has been abused. They have abused it. And so therefore, we have a negative perspective on it. Many ladies were not treated properly by their dads, or they saw their mothers not treated properly, and it gives them that sense, I'm not going to let that happen to me. Humanly, I can't blame them. But no matter what your past is, you've got to be biblical. That's where the blessing is. And to me, it's really tragic that occurs. But the greatest joy, think about it, whenever you said, yes, Lord, and you submitted to him, those have been moments of greatest joy, haven't they been? You know you're right with God. You're doing what he wants to do. And when it comes to having a willingness to believe God through your husband for leadership, it's trusting the Lord and believing that God can intervene in the situation. And so there are some lies about submission here. The wife is inferior to her husband. I've already said the Bible makes it very clear, the equality of male and female. And so that is not what the Bible teaches, period. That has nothing to do with it. Now, are you inferior before God to the President of the United States? No, not at all. And yet, are we to obey the government? Yeah, we're to obey the government. And so that doesn't make you inferior. It just puts you in proper order, because God has to have government or we couldn't function. So, you can put that into any part of life. The principle of submission gives husbands the right to be harsh or dictatorial with their wives, and that's absolutely untrue. Now, does it happen? Yes, and boy, do I go after that. You know where harsh and dictatorial attitudes come from husbands? It comes from insecurity. And wives need to know that. Whenever a husband sort of demands something, he's not at peace with himself. He's not secure, and he's taking his position. When I talk to the men, a husband should never say, I'm the husband and you got to follow me. That should never have to be said. Can you imagine if I got up in the pulpit and said, now folks, now I'm the pastor here. Now you need to follow me and submit to me. Yeah, I wouldn't last long, with that kind of attitude. Now we have the biblical principles. I may preach on it, but it's not that attitude. You got to do what I say. And sometimes pastors do that, and churches split and blow up when that happens. That kind of leadership does not work. A submissive wife can't provide input or express her opinions to her husband. Well, that's tragic, but a lot of times husbands, when a wife has the right attitude, will listen. A pushy, naggy, I don't know if that's a term, but wife, a husband's immediately going to react to that. Just that human fallen nature. Push, push, push. That's not going to work. And but does a wife need to really be involved in decision making? Absolutely. That's what we work with couples. Now, I don't have the men here, so I can't speak fully on this, but let me give you a little tidbit, those of you in a marriage. And this is so important. When you communicate your heart and your husband doesn't follow you, support him anyway. If you do that on a regular basis, he'll always listen to you. But if you're an I told you so lady, well, he's not going to listen to you. Okay, now he shouldn't do that. Okay, I'm looking at it only from your side. But I tell ladies all the time, you can be strong. Especially when our kids were being raised, I needed her to be strong. I don't know how many times I didn't see something, I listened to her, and I realized, wow, she had the inside track. That was absolutely necessary. So many things. I can't remember them all now, but many a list I could go down of things where I needed her communication. But I can tell you, the minute I made a decision that went contrary to what she thought, she was supportive of me. And you're not afraid to listen to your wife then. And she's the first to say, you know, I'm thankful you didn't listen to me. So that would have been a mess, you know. And so be open with your husbands. You know, I pushed you on that, but I'm glad that you made the decision. They need to feel free to make a decision that is right. But you need to feel free to give your heart. And so I would talk to men very much about that. And this idea that the husband is always right, you know, that's sad if that's the case. Husbands need not have that. But that's not going to come if you submit. If you have a right attitude and you communicate and you have the Spirit of God on your life, again, as 1 Peter 3 talks about, a husband will respond to that over a period of time and will begin to realize, I need to listen to my wife. So it's a little hard to go over this just for the wife's side because there's a lot on the husband's side here. But having the right attitude makes a huge difference. Your husband may not be always right, but unless he's completely unbiblical, you just got to trust the Lord to work through his decisions. And there's been a couple of things I know I didn't make the right decision on, but because of the right attitude of my wife, God worked around it and blessed her, and then I got the program, okay? And God will use that. But you'll find too, you know, you're not a man, and there's going to be a perspective from your husband that could be a big help to you. And he's going to make us some decisions that are important. The hardest thing for me is to ever go contrary, because I'd say 98% of the time, my wife's advice I follow to the most extent simply because she's, you know, we're working together. But sometimes I just have to say, no, I really believe this is what my son ought to do. And then, boom, she's right there, and that's what will happen. Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong, but we're working together, and we're not on opposite sides on that. Now, let me just say, you need to trust the Lord, and if a wife gets into an abusive situation, at times there has to be a plea for help. It's a very difficult call. We have to, that's where a church can intervene. And if a wife's attitude is right and she's endeavoring to do what's right, do you think God can work? Yeah, absolutely he can work. And so I really, to talk about that would be a whole subject in itself. But I'm telling you, God wants you to stay with that marriage And God is a powerful God. And I have seen miracle after miracle after miracle. We've also had to protect at times. But let me say, I have never counseled divorce, ever, because it's unbiblical. And there's a God in heaven that we have to trust. All right, let me just quickly touch on this last one. Speaking of my wife, there she is. If my husband is passive, I've got to take the initiative or nothing will get done. Oh, she's had to live with this all the time. I'm just joking, I hope. This is a problem. Men do have a tendency to be passive, don't they? Now, be honest, ladies, have you ever been frustrated with the slowness of your husband at times? He just didn't make the decision. He just didn't handle the situation, and especially if it's your kids or it's something that is important, and you've, like I said, you've appealed to him, and he's just not taking action. And so here's the problem. A wife just goes ahead and takes the initiative. Two big examples. Number one, Eve took the initiative and took the fruit. Well, we've had problems ever since with that one, haven't we? What about Sarah? She wasn't patient. Why doesn't Abraham have the power of God, you know? And so she takes it into her hands and gives Hagar to her husband. Horrible, horrible. And look at the problems. We're still dealing with those problems today. Okay. So initiative outside of the leadership of your husband, unless there's a major biblical issue and you need to be careful on that. But you need to just believe that God, if you will wait on the Lord, will be able to work in their hearts. And if you are living with the joy of the Lord, without a cloud, just endeavoring to have the right spirit and don't take things into your own hands, you're going to see God Almighty work. And it's hard to say how it happens each time, but I've seen men change. I've seen things happen. I've seen them wake up. And so this is very hard. Wait on the Lord. And again, I say, wait on the Lord. Don't take the leadership of your home into your own hands. Now, there are things that spiritually you need to do. And obviously, I'm not saying you don't walk by faith. You know, there's a lot of angles. But it's in this matter of when the husband needs to act and he doesn't act that we run into troubles. And like with Sarah, she got ahead of God, and therefore the problems came from that. And so waiting on the Lord is one of the hardest things in the world to do, to trust him, to depend upon him. And again, I'm not saying you don't communicate and you don't keep it in front of your husband, but you don't pray about it. Don't you get passive. It may be a big deal. Maybe a key decision about where your child should go, or what they should do, or what they should not do. But if you're pestering and pushing and trying to take it into your own hands, you're just going to run into conflict. But you can communicate and trust your husband and pray. And it's just amazing. Many husbands will resist initially, and then you'll see them come around when they see the wisdom of it. So just be patient with the husband in that case. So that's one of the harder parts of submission, is to really, but you know, you get to learn to really trust the Lord. So that's a blessing. And she has a whole section here on waiting for him to act. Well, I don't have the time. The final ones is there's no hope for my marriage. So I'll talk about that a little bit next time as we get started. Every marriage has hope because it's God's plan. And remember, ladies, the big issue is you walk with God. Just like we talked about to the single gals, being married is not going to solve your problems. It's God's plan. It's a wonderful thing. But you need to be satisfied with the will of God. So if you're walking with God, doing what God wants you to do, and you're fulfilling your role, you may be very frustrated with what's happening in your marriage. But if you don't let bitterness come in, if you are free in your heart and serving the Lord and having the right attitude, then you're okay. Some of the most blessed ladies I've ever known have not had the easiest marriages. And God has really developed godliness in them. And and as you've seen some wonderful things happen later on in the marriage. I tell you, when you have the Lord, you have everything. And if you really believe that, you'll be okay. And that, now, let me just say, I say all of that, I've sat in my office, and I've cried with ladies, and I know how hard things can get, so I don't say that lightly. But I know there's a God in heaven who loves you and will take care of you. Just do right. And have that free relationship with him, and you'll be amazed what the God of heaven will do.